tonight. Would you turn in your Bible, please, to Isaiah chapter 37? We might look at a couple other passages. You might find your place in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 32, one of the most encouraging books in the Old Testament, is 2 Chronicles. If you need to be encouraged, read through it. Very encouraging. I'd like for us to consider this subject tonight, Hezekiah's letters. Look, please, at Isaiah 37, verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messenger, from the messengers, and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel that dwellest between the cherubims, Thou art God, even Thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline Thine ear, O Lord, and hear, and open Thine eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. We'll stop there for that letter. That's the first letter. Well, look down at verse 20. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that Thou art the Lord, even Thou only. And so, that's letter number one. Would you turn over, please, to Isaiah 39. This follows stunning deliverance, which we'll review briefly in just a moment. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them, that is, the letters and the ambassadors, and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto Hezekiah and said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come unto me, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing should be left, saith the Lord. The letters of Hezekiah. Turn back just for a moment to the first letter in Isaiah 37. This is recorded also in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. So it's a very important event. It's recorded in three different places with varying emphasis on the details. But let's just notice, please, this first letter. The hostile, threatening letter sent to Hezekiah. It sent Hezekiah to God in complete desperation. If you look just for a moment at verse verse 2 of chapter 37, the messengers have come from Assyria, a violent and vicious superpower, the superpower at that time, threatening him with blasphemous threatenings. And verse 2 says that they sent for the priests covered with sackcloth came unto Isaiah the prophet and informed him of what had taken place. And they said to him, "This is thus saith Hezekiah the king, this is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy and the worst sort of agony. The children are come to birth and there's not strength to bring forth." But this is an image of a mother dying in childbirth. What a horrible sight that must be. It's difficult enough to give birth to a baby, but here's a mother and child dying. You know, that's the image there. Child's ready to be born. She can't get it out. She's dying. And the child. And notice this. And he says, get Isaiah, ask him to pray, tell him what's happening. Verse 4, it may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that's left. Real faith is helpless faith. Real faith has to do with things you cannot do. You are helpless to do in your own strength and your own resources. And they were desperate. They were helpless. And he called for a remnant. If you compare this, the records here, the different accounts, Hezekiah was sick unto death while the Assyrians were invading. So he had a double threat. He had a fatal illness, and he had Assyria at the door. He says here, the remnant that's left, Assyrian monuments that still in existence testify that Sennacherib had already conquered 46 Judean cities and towns and taken 200,000 captives for slavery. Imagine 200,000. So the remnant is small. You know, this is Judah. This isn't just the northern kingdom. They've already been taken captive years previous. This is the remnant of the kingdom of God that's left on the earth, and it's disappearing. And this is no joke. This isn't just play acting. There they are. I mean, it's an invading army at the doors, an irresistible superpower, a vicious kind. And they says, pray, 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 pray. And you notice verse 14, Hezekiah received the letter. That was a threatening letter, demanding terms of surrender. And he spread it out before the Lord. He said, Lord, look at this. And the fact is that, look how this ends. Look at chapter 37, verse 36. God answered his prayer and Isaiah's prayers and the remnant's prayers. Folks, they were tiny on the earth and utterly helpless against this superpower. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. When they arose in the morning, behold, they're all dead corpses. The whole mass of invading army obliterated. And those that remained to be able to rise in the morning looked out and saw just corpses everywhere. 185,000 corpses. That's not all. Verse 37, Sennacherib, king of Egypt, departed, dwelt at Nineveh. And while he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, his two sons came and murdered him in the temple while he's worshiping. And folks, that's not an accident. That's a providential judgment of God. His own sons murdered him in the temple, the Assyrian king. That is what you're looking at is the destiny of heathenism. That is a summary of the destiny of heathenism. How awful. Well, the remnant that was left, so there was Hezekiah was healed. He was physically healed. The nation was preserved. What's left of it was preserved. And their faith in the one true God was stunningly vindicated. And heathenism was greatly reduced in the minds of the people, not only in Judah, but around the world, as you'll see in just a moment. Babylon, people all the way in Babylon heard, wow, did you see what happened? Did you hear what happened? A double thing. A sign in the heavens where the sundial went back that even the Babylonians picked up on, and the slaughter of the Assyrians, who the Babylonians were already tangling with, trying to break free. And they heard about it, and heathenism, through this first letter, because of this first letter and Isaiah's response to it, Hezekiah's response to it, heathenism was greatly reduced in the minds of the people. One true God and faith in Him was vindicated. So that's letter number one. Let's come to letter number two. Turn over to chapter 39. We already read it, so I won't reread it to you. But notice, please, this letter is altogether different than the first one. The first one was a threat. Oh, what a threat. What blasphemies. What a terrible letter it was. And Isaiah and Hezekiah just spread that thing before the Lord and said, Lord, look on this. Okay, but now look at this. The second letter. Merodach-Baladan, the son of a Babylonian king. Now, Babylonian is beginning its ascendancy. And they can't be more delighted that their neighbor, the superpower, has been crushed. And they sent ambassadors to Hezekiah. And one thing that we should note right off the bat here is the world's smile is more dangerous than the world's scorn. I would rather people smile at me than scorn at me, wouldn't you? But one thing you learn from Hezekiah's letters is the world's smile is more dangerous than the world's scorn. Indeed it is. This passage tells us that after spiritual victories, we should be on our guard. Maybe you can think of just things you're really hoping the Lord will pull through for you, things He'll do for you, and those are right things. But look here, what Hezekiah prayed for was a right thing, and the people prayed for it was a right thing, and God answered them and gave them a great spiritual victory. But this passage teaches us that after spiritual victories, be on your guard. Hezekiah failed after a great spiritual victory. The hour of peculiar blessing, said a Plymouth Brethren writer, is the hour of greatest testing. You know when you people are scorning you and you're in a situation like the first one he's in, you really don't have that many options, do you? But what about when you prosper? What about when people are impressed with you? What about when even the world is smiling? What about that? The hour of peculiar blessing, the Plymouth Brethren man said, is the hour of greatest testing. Do you need to spread friendly letters before the Lord as well as threatening letters before the Lord? Do you need to spread friendly letters, especially friendly letters from lost people or worldly people before the Lord? Hezekiah didn't spread this one before the Lord, did he? He spread the first one before the Lord. And naturally, you and I would think, and Hezekiah thought, yeah, I don't need to spread this one before the Lord. But folks, ask yourself, do you need to spread friendly letters before the Lord? Especially friendly letters from lost people or worldly people. I hope you want to be a friend of sinners. How many of you want to be a real friend of sinners? Amen. I do. And if you're saved today, you're probably saved because some good Christian person was good to you and befriended you. And yes, we want to be friends with sinners. But look, we need to spread things before the Lord. And people favor you. This could be in a lot of contexts, in church things, business things, social things. The hour of peculiar blessing is the hour of great testings. These ambassadors, please notice, were on more than a congratulations mission. More than that. They were Assyria's enemies. They were seeking to become a regional superpower. And please remember that Isaiah himself had said, "Ho Assyria, the rod of mine anger." In other words, God said, "I am bringing Assyria against you for your corruption and your wickedness and your disobedience." In other words, God brought Assyrian as a scourge to Judah. Isaiah prophesied it in Isaiah 10. "Ho Assyrian, the rod of my anger." And folks, just on the side of this, our nation is going to be scourged for our disobedience. We just are. And however, God said, "This far and no more." And then they're taken away. But Hezekiah became allied with Babylon, probably for regional security. He said, yeah, let's us get together, make sure this rising doesn't happen. And folks, we have to be awful careful about bonds and agreements and treaties and alliances of various sorts. Be careful who you make alliances with. That's one thing he's to say. They didn't come just to congratulate him. They came to look things over. And notice, please, that Hezekiah showed these ambassadors everything. That was very unwise. Showed them everything. An unwise disclosure. Folks, it was a proud disclosure. He was showing them all this stuff as if it was his and not God's. And folks, have we forgotten what Paul said about himself? Whose I am, he told those people on the ship in Acts 27. He said, an angel of God, whose I am and who I serve. Folks, we're purchased. Our bodies are purchased. We are to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. Know ye not your body? You are not your own. You're bought with a price. But Hezekiah showed all this stuff off as if it was his. And folks, your hands and your abilities are gifts from God. And maybe if God gives you some real success in something, some unusual ability, natural, supernatural, Hezekiah showed all this stuff off like it was his. Bad move. That was proud. Folks, it was a proud disclosure. It was a proud showing off in the hour of victory, in the hour of prosperity. He was showing it off, and that in itself is wrong, but this was especially disastrous. He was showing off to the wrong people. All the showing off is wrong, but some is unusually fatal, and that was the case here. In other words, one of the things you get out of this, you know, you're reading about a man of faith. Hezekiah was a saved man. We call him Good King Hezekiah. We have a number of psalms written by Hezekiah. But you know, this records here that Hezekiah was proud. Just for a moment, would you turn over, please, to 2 Chronicles 32. Pride causes us to do foolish things. Pride makes fools of good Christian people. Can good Christian people be proud? What did we look at this morning about flesh? Is there any good in my flesh? Any good in your flesh? Do you have flesh? If we say we have no sin, that's a noun, that's a flesh, that's an entity, that's a nature. We deceive ourselves. And folks, it's so easy to forget the deceitfulness. The heart is deceitful, Jeremiah said, above all things desperately wicked. And it's never easier to forget this or let your guard down than after a spiritual victory. Spiritual victory. After things seem to be going great, and pride causes us to do foolish things, pride makes fools of good Christian people. Hezekiah was a fool. He just set his family up to be to like bowling pins to be knocked down. Good King Hezekiah, what about me? What about you? Or considering Hezekiah's letters. The first letter was awful. He spread it before the Lord and said, O Lord God, help us. And they got help. Then it was going great, and he got another letter. Letters. He was delighted. And he didn't spread them before the Lord. And the fact is that he was proud in this. If you have any doubt, would you notice, please? Look at verse chapter 32, 2 Chronicles. And look, please, at verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death and prayed unto the Lord. That's what believing people do. And he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign.
Folks, he turned back the sundial. God did this to encourage his faith. Your faith's mighty important. And God will let you do things to encourage your faith. And he was encouraged. And he did believe the Lord. But look at verse 25. But, after this goodness, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. For his deceitful, sin-stricken heart was lifted up. That means he was proud. Proud? Proud. Different ways to be proud. Proud of grace, proud of race, proud of face, proud of place, and worst of all, proud of grace. As if those. But look at that. Good King Hezekiah. He's a better man than us. And yet, Hezekiah rendered not according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. In other words, they didn't do any better than he did. Look down at verse 31. Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon who sent to inquire of the wonder done in the land. Note this carefully, please. God left him, his child Hezekiah. God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. He tested him in the hour of prosperity. God tests us and say, what do you think? I just wonder, what are you proud of? You know, that folks, pride make a fool out of you. Pride make a fool out of a good Christian. What are you proud of? He asked the Corinthians this question. He said, what hast thou that thou hast not received? And if you received it, why do you glory in it like you didn't receive it? What hast thou? That'd be good. Well, what have you that you didn't receive? I don't understand how he did it. David said, I was formed in my mother's womb. You think you were formed? I think you were. I don't understand that, but I believe that. I don't understand why. Did he has this frame, she has that frame, and that one has this one, but what hast thou thou hast not received? We can conclude with this. Please try to remember, one victory doesn't guarantee an unbroken sequence of victory. You could say, you know, that lady really came through. I know she's a woman of God. Good. Good that she came through. God came through for her. But that does not mean there will be following that an unbroken sequence. Folks, we are fast forgetters. Fast forgetters. I do not apologize for reviewing important passages. God help me never to apologize for reviewing important passages. We are fast forgetters. Very fast. Notice, he forgot. He didn't render again according to the benefit. So what benefits has he done for you? We sang about the Son of God dying in public to bring me into the fold, bring you into the fold. Can we even imagine? I think somebody asked me, would you get up at 5 o'clock and feed my dog while I'm on vacation? I'd consider that a sacrifice, even though I could go back to bed and or have an extra cup of coffee. Folks, that isn't what he did according to the benefit. It cost him. We're all fast forgetters. So I just look at that passage tonight and say, you know, Hezekiah did not render according to the benefit. And this would be a good opportunity to ask Phyllis, what, you could orchestrate a little Thanksgiving service and we could take a few moments to give thanks to the Lord. And you know, he inhabits the praises of his people. And don't forget, he tried him. The Lord left him. He left his child whom he had done great things for to see what was in his heart. Nothing has changed, dear people. Nothing has changed. God tries us. He's interested. He's not trying to grind you to powder, but But he values your choices. Let's bow for prayer, shall we? And would you just thank the Lord and for all that he's done for you? Would you ask him to give you a long spiritual memory and give you wisdom to spread everything before the Lord and all thy ways acknowledge him? And Lord God, we just grieve at our sin-stricken hearts. We ask thou help us to render according to the benefit. And just help us remember that pride makes fools of us, and pride makes fools even of the best of thy children, and it is possible for them to be lifted up in their deceitful hearts. So we come unto thee and ask that you would kindle and receive thanksgiving tonight in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.